We are holding on Chaf Ches on the bays by the first, by the first two dots, the eight lines from the top. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we've been talking about the idea that you have to, how many simonim you have to shech, two simonim or the majority of them in the case of an animal, one simon or the majority of it in the case of a bird, and Rabbi Yehuda Omad Shiyishchait, Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that it's not enough to just shech the simonim, you also have to shech the viridin. You also have to cut through the viridin, which we've discussed. You have
he's the only one.
Well, he's the only one, yeah. But he's saying you have to cut the viridin, and we've discussed the question whether the viridin means the veins or whether it means the arteries or maybe both. Okay. So Omer of Chizkiah.
Viridin in general means the veins.
Viridin is a generic term meaning blood vessels. So it can mean either arteries or it can mean veins.
In modern Hebrew, there's no
single word for it in the Gemara. You have the word viridin over here, although it's a little bit rich. Sometimes you have chutin, sometimes you have gidin. There's a number of different generic terms that are used for various structures in the body where it's not always clear.
In modern Hebrew,
they have different words for it. The word they use the word orech for an artery. They use the word virid for a vein, although I'm not sure about that, but whatever, they have. Okay. So, Omer of Chista, Loi Omer of Yehuda El Ba'oi. This that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you have to cut the virid in as well, is only by a bird. Because birds, sometimes you roast it all as one piece, so therefore you have to make sure that you cut the virid in order that the blood should be able to drain out. Aval behema, but when it comes to a larger animal, a domestic or wild animal, given the menatcha ever, since generally animals are cut up before they're roasted, you don't usually roast them whole. Loitzaris, then therefore Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not necessary because anyway, when you're cutting it up, you'll anyway cut the various blood vessels and whatever, and the blood will be drained out. There is, by the way, a bit of discussion in Rishonim about. Are we talking about specifically by a bird? Are we saying by a bird then it's enough to cut the viridin according to Rabbi Yehuda? If you're going to roast it, however, maybe the argument is if you're going to cook it whole rather than roasting it whole, maybe you need something more than that. Maybe you need more than just cutting the viridin, because after all, with roasting, the roasting process itself takes out a lot of the blood. So you only have to worry about things like the large blood vessels, where there's a large amount of blood in them, but maybe with cooking you need something more than that. Or maybe not. The Rosh brings different opinions on the subject, for example. And then there's also the question, similarly, as far as animals. If we're saying over here it's not necessary to do it with animals because you usually don't roast them whole. Okay, but what if you do roast them whole? And what happens, and for example, the carbon paste, that would be an example. But also another discussion would be, what if you're, another discussion would also be, similarly, if you're going to cook them whole or as large pieces or whatever, do you need to do something more than just cutting the large one? So there's a good deal of discussion about that. One thing that's pointed out, some of the Rishonim, I believe, the Rashba, points out is, even if you're going to say, with a bird, Rabbi Yehuda might be saying, even if you're going to, if you're going to be cooking or roasting it or whatever the case may be, even you're going to say, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to cut it up, therefore I shouldn't have to cut the viridin. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, you need to cut the viridin anyway, because with a bird, it's very easy to change your mind and say, you know what, rather than cutting it up, you know what, I'll go ahead and roast it whole, and then you're going to have the problem. As opposed to with animals, it's unlikely, if you decided to cut it up, it's unlikely that you're going to think to yourself, you know what, I may as well just do it whole. With all that said, Tosfos brings that maybe even... Yeah, okay, that's the point. So with that said, also Tosfos discusses maybe not necessarily even Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to cut the bread, and maybe Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily saying that if you don't, you can't eat it at all. Maybe it's only a syllabic thing. All right, anyway, let's go on with the Gemara.
So
you have different opinions about it in Shulchan Aruch. In practice, it says that you should cut the viridin in a bird. It's what Rehoda is saying. It's what Gemara mentions elsewhere, that we should be careful about what Rehoda is saying here about viridin. So therefore, it's important to do. However, the Ramah points out, if you remove the head of the bird, then it's not an issue anyway, because anyway, then the viridin are cut through. And since nowadays, they generally remove the head of the chicken after they shecht it, then there's no, then the shechita itself isn't, because you don't cut them up fresh, as we said. But later on, they remove the head of the chicken at some point in the processing, so therefore, it's okay. Okay. So this is Rabbi Yehuda saying that it only applies to a bird. Okay. The question is, remember the time of the Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Damhu? So are you telling me Rabbi Yehuda's that Rabbi Yehuda's reason why he says you have to cut the viridin is in order to get the blood out? Well, it's none, but we learn in our Mishnah, generically, we said Rabbi Yehuda Aymachi Yishchet the viridin. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to shech the viridin, implying that it's an actual part of the shechita. So it's not just a matter of practically speaking to get out the blood. It sounds like Rabbi Huda is holding that the shechita itself is incomplete if you don't also cut through the verdin. The answer is Eima, no. You can change the mission. It doesn't actually mean sheyishchot. Doesn't have to be part of the process of shechita. It just means actually inactive as a verdin. It just means you have to puncture them somehow. Oh my, sheyishchot. So what does Rabbi Huda mean when he says that it's only good if you shech them? He means actually yinkas, the shash shechita. He just means that you have to puncture them at some point during the shechita process, but not necessarily that you have to actually do the proper shechita, as in molech or maybe, and not drosa, etc.
That's
the Gemara thing. Toshma, in other words, not a contradiction to the chita. Toshma, we can bring another proof. Veridin a brayta says veridin b'shchita, the divrei Rabbi Huda. The Rabbi Huda says in the brayta that the veridin has to be shechted. So again, it sounds like they have to actually be shechted, not just that you're the brayta. Before we were quoting our mishnah, now we're quoting a brayta. So the brayta seems to spell out more veridin b'shchita, divrei Rabbi Huda. And again, the answer is we can reinterpret the brayta in the veridin sarcha nachman b'shach shchita, divrei Rabbi Huda. Same thing. It doesn't necessarily mean really that you have to shech them. It can just mean Rabbi Huda says you have to puncture them during the process of shechita. Yes.
Okay.
So therefore, again, we're talking about. So far we haven't gotten to a proof yet that it applies only to an oath. So far we're dealing with the issue that Rabbi Huda is saying, the reason why Rabbi Huda is saying you have to do this in the first place is because birds are roasted whole. In other words, that the idea is in order to drain out the blood. So therefore, so we're trying to prove whether that's the case. Okay. Toshma. Amr Eloi L'Rabbi Huda, Braisa continues, that the other Chachamim said to Rabbi Huda, why are you saying anything about the Viridin anyway? Ma'acha Shalehuzkuru Viridin Elo Lahotim Ehendam, since after all, the only reason Viridin are B'chlam mentioned, in other words, no, the highest of the animal doesn't depend on them, the only reason they should have to be mentioned is Elo Lahotim Ehendam, is only because in order to drain out the blood from them. Therefore, the Chachamim argues to Rabbi Huda, Mali B'shchita, Mali Shalai B'shchita, so what do I care whether they're cut as part of the Shchita, or whether they're punctured, or otherwise cut, or severed, or whatever, in some other way, implying Miklal de Rabbi Huda Sava B'shchita, which seems to imply that Rabbi Huda holds you actually have to shech them, which would mean, in other words, that Rabbi Huda is saying it's not just a matter of draining out the blood, because then what are the Chachamim arguing with him? It sounds like Rabbi Huda is insisting that you don't just have two simonim, or one simon in the case of a bird, when it comes to shchita, you actually have simonim plus veridin. Those are all part of the process of shchita, and if you don't do any of them with all the rules of shchita, then they would be possible. And it sounds like the Chachamim are arguing with him and saying it's only a practical reason why you should have to puncture the veridin anyway, and in that case it shouldn't matter whether a proper shchita was done on them as long as a proper shchita was done on the simonim. Therefore, that would be a contradiction to Rav Chisda, because it sounds like Rav Chisda is saying that Rav Yehuda himself agrees the only reason to have to cut the veridin is because to drain out the blood. So in that case, what are he and the Chachamim arguing about?
Yeah.
So the answer is, Hachita Amulah. The answer is, you're right, what the Chachamim mean when they're saying to, what they're talking to Rav Yehuda and arguing with him, they're saying as follows. Mali l'nachvan b'shas shchita, mali l'nachvan sholei b'shas shchita. They're arguing like this. We know, Rabbi Huda, that you're saying that you don't actually have to shech them per se, you just have to puncture them. But you are mentioning that you have to do it b'shach shchita. We said before, ad sheyishchot means ad sheyinkot b'shach shchita, that it only works if you puncture them during the time of shchita. So the Chachamim are arguing on Rabbi Huda. If the whole point is just to drain out the blood, who cares whether you're doing it at the time of shchita or sometime later? That's the argument, not... The answer is, Bahusava, Rabbi Huda would hold, the reason why for the difference is a very practical thing. Vishat Shchita Ofidan, during Shchita, if you puncture them, the veridin, then the blood will flow freely, Dechayim, because then the blood is warm. So then it'll be more likely to come out completely. Shaloi Vishat Shchita, whereas if you do it, not at the time of Shchita, if you do it sometime later, it's not going to work. Loi Ofidam, the blood is not going to come out, just Korir, because it will have cooled off, and therefore it won't come out as much.
Meaning if it doesn't pass through the
meaning, in other words, Rabbi Huda is saying, if I'm saying you have to cut the veridin in order to get out as much of the blood as possible, because you may end up roasting or cooking or whatever this bird hole, then therefore, I insist you should be doing it at the time of Shchita, because otherwise it's not going to do much good. If you do it later on, the blood cools off, and therefore it's not going to come out effectively, and then you're back to, you haven't really accomplished anything, right?
But it's still not part
of the Shchita. That's the point that we're saying, in other words, that still, we haven't contradicted Rav Chisda. It's not part of the Shchita. It's practically speaking, it should be done at the time of the Shchita, because that's when the blood is still hot. It's still warm. Okay. Fine. boy Rav Yirmiyah. So now Rav Yirmiyah acts on this. Now Rav Yirmiyah did not hear, Rashi says, lo shmiyalei, what Rav Chisda said, which could either mean he hadn't heard of it, or it could mean he didn't hold of it. So Rav Yirmiyah, in other words, is ignoring, either knowingly or unknowingly, what Rav Chisda said, and thinking that Rav Yehuda says that Viridin is actually part of the Shchita, so therefore he asks, Viridin the Rav Yehuda, this cutting of the Viridin, according to Rav Yehuda, Shah behen Doras behen Mahu. What would be the din if he did one of the things during it that passes Shchita? For example, Shahiyah, pausing during the Shchita, which we'll learn in a few blocks. The dinim about pausing later on in our parish, we'll talk about the dinim of pausing during Shchita. The question is, if according to Rav Yehuda, we say that the Viridin are essential for the Shchita, if we say, in other words, effectively, according to Rav Yehuda, there's not just two simonim, according to Rav Chisda, we said that not. Rav Yirmiyah, again, either didn't hear of what Rav Chisda said, or he heard of it and knowingly disagreed with it. So therefore, he takes the view that Rav Yehuda seems to be saying the Viridin are essential for the actual Shchita, that you have not just two simonim, but you have effectively four or six, or however many Viridin there are. So therefore, the question is, would the usual rules of Shchita apply to them? What if he did Shahiyah in the middle of cutting the Viridin, or between cutting the simonim and cutting the Viridin? Doras behen, or if he pressed on them, which is also part of the Shchita, Mahu, what would be the din? Amalei Hahu Sava, so a certain old Talmud Chacham told him, and Tosafot elsewhere talks about that Hahu Sava may mean Eliyahu HaNavi. Anyway, so he said to him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Elazar, so he said to him, you should know, this is what Rabbi Elazar said on this, Ba'amri La, or another version is Amalei Hahu Sava L'Rabbi Elazar. Another version is that this Hahu Sava, this old Talmud Chacham said to Rabbi Elazar directly, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechon, and this is what Rabbi Yechon said. But no, menachvan b'kois v'hein kshedin. All you need to do is puncture them with a thorn, or in other words, something sharp, and that's it, that's kosher. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that cutting the viridian is part of the shchita. He's saying, as a practical matter, you need to drain out the blood. Therefore, it's fine however you do it, whether you did it with the shchita knife or not, whether you did it with drosa or not, whether you did it with shahir or not, as long as you did it as soon as possible after the shchita to allow the blood to drain.
That's Rabbi Yochanan.
Yes, talking about that. That's either Hahu Sava telling Rabbi Yirmiyah what Rabbi Elazar said on this, or Hahu Sava telling Rabbi Elazar what his own Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, said about this, that to explain what does Rabbi Yehuda mean, that it doesn't mean that you have to actually shech them, it just means that you have to puncture them somehow, and even puncturing them with a coit, with a thorn, is enough. Tanya Kava said to Rabbi Chisda, in fact, we learn a braisa like Rabbi Chisda's explanation, that Rabbi Yehuda holds this only applies to birds. The Braita says, Shochat Shnei Chatzoris Simonim Ba'oi Fossil. If a person checks only half of each of the two Simonim in a bird, then it'll be Fossil, because as we learned, you have to cut Roy with each. The Ein Sarach Loim of a Behema, needless to say with a Behema, that's no good, because with a Behema you have even higher, you have higher standards for Shchita. Like we said yesterday, Behema needs two Simonim, and Oif only needs one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'oif Am Sheyishchet Es HaVesh Ves HaVeridin, and Rabbi Yehuda says in a bird it's not enough unless you cut the vesh and the veridin. So we see from that Rabbi Yehuda clearly says his din about veridin only in connection with birds. Again, because Rabbi Chisda is saying, because birds are often roasted whole, and therefore you need to make sure that the blood will be able to drain out effectively. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Chatsi Echad Ba'oif V'chola, we said,
that's definitive, that's
what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, only by birds, and the halacha is in fact like him, that you do have to cut the viridin. You don't have to cut them by an animal unless you're going to be roasting it whole, because you do have the opinions of Rishonim that say that you do. When it comes to cooking it whole, you also have the different opinions of Rishonim. I don't remember if it says in Shulchan Aruch if you have to, but ideally, of course,
so
you should.
Okay, right. So according to Rabbi Yehuda and the halacha, you have to cut the viridin for a bird.
For a bird,
but what is it about? Is it about the blood?
It's about the blood. It's about the blood. That's what we said. It's established
blood.
That it's about the blood. It's not, right.
Nowadays,
so nowadays, I cut off the head afterwards, so then you're good. The viridin are automatically
cut.
Practically speaking, he may well cut the viridin. It's very likely that he will, but it's not necessarily that he will. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then we said him. That's what we said. You have to do it as soon as possible, because then the blood is hot and it'll flow out. We said in the Mishnah Chatsiyach Ba'oif V'cholo that if the person shechted only half of one simon by a bird, or half of each of the two simonim by a behemah, then we said it's no good, because you have to have roi. So, Itma, we actually have a discussion of Amaroyim on that point. Rav Amar Mechtal Mechta Kiroiv, Rav says that if you shechted exactly half of the, Rav is saying, in a general sense, Mechtal Mechta Kiroiv, exactly half is considered like a majority. Well, we assume at this point in the Gemara, we're going to assume throughout the sugya until we get to the end, that Rav is talking about as far as Shchita, and as we'll see, as far as other dinim as well, that Rav would hold whenever you have exactly half of something, it's considered as if you have the whole, it's considered as if you have the majority. Rav Kahana, I'm a mechtal, mechta enis, and Rav Kahana says that not. Okay, let's analyze the opinion. Rav Amma Mechtal Mechta Feroiv, because he learned like this, Hachi Amma Le Rachmana Le Moshe, means when Hashem is teaching Moshe the dinim of Shchita, which we said yesterday that Hashem taught Moshe the halachas Baltech, Hashem Tzivitzifa, it means Hashem tells Moshe, Loi Tishayir Ruba, make sure that the majority of the simon is not left uncut. So therefore, you cut exactly half, fine, you don't have a majority left uncut, so therefore you're good. Rav Kahana says no, exactly half is not like Roy, meaning he explains, Hachi Amalei Rachmana LaMoshe, he understands what Hashem told Moshe is, Shchoit Ruba. You have to make sure to actually shech a majority of the sin. So if you have exactly half, you haven't shechted a majority. Okay.
It's really hard to
exactly. That's going to be a point that we're going to bring up in a second. Okay. Simen Chafik Kine Gagera Svima, this is a simen for various proofs that we're going to try to bring one way or the other. Now, okay, first of all, let's look at our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, we said if you shechted exactly half of a siman by a bird, or exactly 1.5 siman by an animal, then the shechita is possible. So the question is, according to Rabbi, I'm at Mechtal Mechta for Roy, you're going to tell me that exactly half is considered like Roy, am I possible, then why should it be possible? According to Rabbi, effectively, you did Roy. Because as long as you did half, you don't have half uncut, according to Rabbi, that's good. The answer is midrabbanan. The answer is Rav would answer you right. Midaraita would actually be kosher, which means therefore Rashi says the body of this animal, the carcass of this animal, will not be matami b'nevela. Because midaraita, it would be considered a proper shechita. Midrabbanan, mechta mechta. Midrabbanan, but midrabbanan, we're going to say the shechita is possible. Dumalei osi lemevid palga, because he may not actually do half. He may do slightly less than half without realizing it, and therefore the chachamim are going to say that if he did exactly half, then we're going to pass for it to be on the safe side. But really, midaraita according to Rav would be kosher. Okay. Amar of Katina, Toshma. Okay, so Rav Katina says, come, I'm going to bring a proof from a different case, not involving shchita, but a case involving hilchos tumah v'tahara. Now you have like this. The Torah tells us that ovens in those days were usually made out of earthenware, and they were attached to the ground. Usually, by the way, things that are attached to the ground are not makabel tuma. An oven is pretty much the only exception here that's makabel tuma, gzeres hakosis. So now what happens? In general, klei cheres, what? Yeah. So in general, now there's another rule. Klei cheres, in general, there's no way of making them tahor. You have a klei cheres that becomes tame, for example, you can't dip it in a mixer. It doesn't work. So therefore, the only thing you can do is break it. And in the case of an oven, the Torah says, Tanu v'chirai in yutas, that if you have an oven or range that are made out of earthenware that became tome, the only thing you can do is break it. The din is that it's only considered broken if you broke a majority of it. So if, let's say the majority as far as the height or as far as the width, I don't remember exactly, but whatever, the point is that let's say you have, in other words, you have, let's say, an oven that's 4 feet tall. So you would have to break it down until the remaining part is less than 2 feet tall. Chilker l'shnayim, a braita says, if you divided the oven exactly in half, the hein shoven, and the two pieces are exactly the same size, shneim tmeim, both of them are still tomes. It hasn't helped. You haven't accomplished netitza. The reason is because it's impossible to get them exactly the same. Necessarily, one of them has to be the roiv. You just can't tell which one, but each one of them must be a tiny bit bigger than the other one. Therefore, the tumah didn't go away from it. So the question is, ha eshal samsim. So that seems to imply that if you were able to be the samsim, if you were able to actually measure them down to the atom, down to the molecule or whatever, and find they are exactly the same, tahurim, then it sounds like they would be tahur. But according to Rav, why should it be tahor? Amai tahorin, zil hacha ikaruba, zil hacha ikaruba. If according to Rav, half is considered like roi, but we're saying over here by shchita, then the same thing should apply to that oven. Each piece, which is exactly a half, should be considered like roi. So each one is a roi. Each one is a roi, and therefore neither one has lost its tumah. The answer is amar papa trei rubi b'chad mana lecha. The difference is you can't have two roi within one case. It necessarily, by elimination, if one piece is the roiv, automatically the other one has to be the mute. when it comes to shechita, what you have to have roiv is you have to do, the cut has to be roiv. So when we say, in other words, Rashi explains, when we say that half is the equivalent of roiv, which is what Rav is saying, there's no other half there, so to speak, to contradict it and say, yeah, but this half that's left is the roiv. Because as far as the halacha is concerned, once you cut through exactly 50%, it's considered the equivalent of roiv. As opposed to with the oven, one piece, even if you say each piece is exactly 50%, but that would mean, if you're going to say that both of them are roiv, then that contradicts each other. The only reason we say that...
less than roiv and you're more than roiv, you say it's 50-50 something.
Well, it means, in other words, so therefore, the only reason we say that both of them are chomei is because the actual assumption, because practically speaking, we can't really tell which is the bigger piece. Tosfos actually points out, there's actually a machlokas about this point, actual assumption or actual assumption, in a few other places in Shas. It comes up in Bechoros, for example, in connection with, you have two animals, or for that matter, two people that were born at the same time, which one is the Bechor? The one way of looking at it is Eshel of Samson. Necessarily, one of them was born a fraction of a second before the other. We just don't know which. Therefore, both of them are a Suffolk Bechor. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says Eshel of Samson. And therefore he says, I think he says both of them are Vadai Bechor. Whatever. The point is that he holds in general Eshel of Samson. However, Tosfos points out, it's different with a Kli Cheres. The Gemara explains that a Kli Cheres, necessarily, they don't break cleanly. You break a Kli Cheres, necessarily. It has jagged edges and whatever.
So we switch in the discussion from roiv to eshel of samson.
So we're saying that if we say eshel of samson, that is a reason to say by the Kli Cheres, that is a reason to say by the Kli Cheres that both parts are chomei. In other words, according to Rav, if you somehow were able to divide the Kli Cheres exactly 50-50, and we were going to say eshel of samson, like Rabbi Yossi says. In fact, then you would say that both of them are tomei, because that to say that both of them are tomei means to say that each one is 51% would contradict each other. Whereas you about shchita, that's not the issue.
What does this mean exactly? Eshel
of samson means that in principle we could figure out which one is the larger one, which one is the smaller one, and this kind of comes up in other areas of halacha also. For example, you have a case over there. You find a dead body. From the end of Parashat Shoftim, exactly between two cities, which one brings the Egla Arufa? That's also a case of Eshel of Samson or Eshel of Samson. Do we say that, in principle, you could figure out which one is the closer one? It's just it may be too hard to figure out, or we may not be able to with the measuring tools we have at our disposal. Or we could say Eshel of Samson, it is actually possible to determine, in principle, it might even be possible to determine that it is really exactly, not even one bit closer to the one city than the other, and therefore both of them are bringing an Eglah Ruch for Shutfos, whatever. Anyway,
here,
that's the point. So when it comes to shechita, we don't say it's not an issue of eshel of samson or not. Rav is going to say as long as you cut through 50%, as long as it appears to our eyes to be 50%, then the Torah will consider it roiv. Because there's not a question of eshel of samson or not. There's nothing to contradict it. But when it comes to a kli cheres, first of all, you have the classical fact that kli cheres don't break that cleanly, but even if they did break that cleanly, to say that each one is roiv would be directly contradicting each other, because you'd be saying this one is a roiv and this one is a roiv, and that's impossible. Of necessity. If one's a roiv, the other one's a meal. Okay, Tosfos gets into a further long discussion over here about the pros and cons of eshel of samson and not, and when we say that exactly half is like roiv and when not. One thing is that there's a distinction between whether it's something bidei shamayim versus bidei adam, something natural versus something human made. That's one svara. Over here, Tosfos brings a svara from Rabbeinu Shimshon, who says that over here, what it would be over here is, Rav would say, if he cut half, there's also the possibility, precisely because Eshel of Samson, there could very well be the possibility that he cut more than half. So therefore, Manasseh, Rav would say that it's okay. But fine, Midrabanan, we're going to say that not. But at least Midrabanan, we would say that either way it's okay. Whereas Rav Kahana, because Eshel of Samson, whereas Rav Kahana might be taking the view, yes, but on the other hand, if you cut exactly half, that's not enough. The Torah, even let's say, maybe there's a possibility you cut a little more than half, but maybe not. And according to Rav Kahana, the Torah insists that you cut more than half. Okay. So anyway, so no proof from that case of the oven one way or the other, because over there it's a different issue. There it's an issue of eshel of samson and eshel of samson, and there it's an issue of you can't validly say that both halves of the keli is each roiv. Whereas over here that's not an issue. Okay. Toshma, shachat chatzi gazeret. Yeah. Tashma, we're going to bring a proof from another Braisa, which we quoted before, Anamar Aleph, we discussed it yesterday. Shochach Hasi Gagera, if a person shechted half of the windpipe, the Shahaba Kadesh Shchita Acheres, he paused then long enough to do another Shchita, which is the amount for Shehiya. So in principle, you would think the Shchita is possible. The Gomra, and then he completed it, Shchita Tek Sherem, and the Shchita is kosher. Because, because when we've said before that when it comes to traces of the kana, the animal was trafe only if more than half the circumference of the kana has been cut or broken or whatever. Here you have exactly half, so therefore that half is not yet considered part of the shechita process. So therefore the shechita after it is neither here nor there. No, therefore it's not possible. If it's exactly chesi, and then he did shechita, then he finished shechita tekshera, we said. The question is on Rav. The Amet Mechzal Mechzik Roiv, if you, Rav, are telling me that exactly half is considered like Roiv, so you're saying that's a kula as far as Shechita, but in this case it comes out to be a Chumra. It's Tarfala. The animal already ended up being Shefer, because the same logic, exactly half of the Kana is considered like the majority. So therefore, the animal is already traced because more than half the corner was shechted where it was cut through, and they're now they're in the shehiya.
But that's the regular pizza.
No, so if there was no shehiya, then fine.
What was kosher, and then after you got something else?
Yeah, fine, but no. One second, but here we're talking about the Gemara assumes we're talking about an animal. An animal, you need both simonim to be cut. So if he only cut through the corner, then he were no good yet.
The principle is before there's road and there's shehiya, then what?
So that's the thing. If there was no shehiya, then there wouldn't be a problem. But if there was already roid, if he definitely cut through the whole, more than half the kana, and then did shehiya, no good. No good.
Why?
No, because then you cut through more than half the kana. So now already the shechita process has started.
The shechita is finished after the roid, isn't it?
Not with a behemoth. You need two simonim. An oif, where it would work. And that's the answer. Me, Sabrath, the behemoth. You're thinking this Braita is talking about a behemoth. No, for oif. And no, the answer is that you could answer the Braita is talking about a bird. Therefore, Mamonapsha. Therefore, the bird is kosher no matter what, because either way you look at it. If you're going to argue that Mechzal Mechza, that exactly half is considered the roiv, good, of it lay roba. Then right at the beginning, you did roiv, and the fact that you did shehiya and then continued cutting afterwards is neither here nor there. The bird's already dead. And if you're going to argue that exactly half is not like roiv, fine, like over the like woman, and you haven't done anything that would topple the animal yet, so that would topple the bird yet. So therefore, either way, you look at it, you're good.
When you say mechzal mechza, and there has to be two simanim in a behemah.
A behemah, yes. We're talking about an oif.
What is roiv in a behemah? Roiv of two simanim?
Okay, so Rav would say if you cut exactly half of the kana and exactly half of the vesht in a behemoth, then it would be kosher. Same idea. So each one of them would be considered like roi, with that sin.
Right. Well,
with a bird.
Cut half of one and half of the other.
I don't know. Let's say you have some ways here. I don't know.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's not impossible. In an animal, the vesht is not directly behind the kana, first of all. It's a little bit to the side.
Oh,
so it is.
You start from the
front of the neck. Well, you could, although we learned before that we've learned before that you could also be the evid, so we learned before, from Tadashi, the Maskila, from everybody else to the evid, you could start from the side of the neck.
Okay.
So whatever it is, it's possible somehow it could be possible. Let's say
each one would be half.
Yes. Yeah.
Half the kana and half the vesht.
And half the vesht, right. Yeah.
And that, according to Rav,
would be good. And with an oath, you don't even need that. All you need is half the kana. See? Okay, so no proof from this braisa one way or the other, because you're right. If this braisa was talking about a behemoth, then you might have a problem, because then once you cut through, you cut through exactly half the vesh, half the kana rather, at that point it might be considered like roiv, same logic as Rav is using, and then therefore already the animal is traced. But when we're talking about a bird, then you're kosher, because either way, either you've done a shechita or you've done nothing at that point.
By cutting
exactly half,
honey,
more than half of the kana would make it straight, that's the thing. No, with a bird, cutting more...
With a behemoth.
Forget about it. That's why we said, with a behemoth, the problem is cutting more than half the kana and then pausing and then doing shehiya would make it possible. But now you've done a significant part of the shechita, and then you did shehiya. That's no good. But with a bird, once you cut through more than half, then good, the shechita is already finished.
For the behemoth, you would have to cut the entire, at least half of the kani and half of the vesh.
Right.
According to Rav, that would be enough.
According to Rav, not Rav against Rav Kahana. So according to Rav Kahana, no. Fine. Tashma, come, we'll bring another proof from a Braita, which we also quoted. Suppose that half the Koneh was missing. Again, in other words, you had half of the circumference, up to half the circumference of it was cut out or damaged or whatever, before the Shrita, yeah. Well, host if all of culture, and then you added a little bit, so now you're over 50% with Gomra, and thereby you made it a majority. So again, the question is, if you're going to argue that exactly half is considered like roiv, then at that point, if you started with the corner was exactly half pogrom, according to Rav, it's considered the majority of pogrom. Therefore, the animal or the bird is treif already.
So it's not quite so.
Yes. The answer is, Amar Rava, shiny le'inyan treifa, d'bein in roiv hanir le'inayim. Rava says, the difference is, when it comes to treifas, you need to have the roiv that we're talking about that makes the animal or the bird treif, is roiv hanir le'inayim. Now, what do we mean by roiv hanir le'inayim? Rashi says that it means a visible roiv. In other words, it's not just enough to have 51%. It would have to be enough to be visibly that it's the roiv of the karma. Only then would it be possible. Most of the other Rishonim learn that, no, Roiv HaNir Le'inayim just means that Rav would agree when it comes to Treifas that it has to be that 51% of the Kana, more than half of a bird or an animal, has been touched through in order to make it Treif. In other words, all this time we've been saying that Rav would say that exactly half is considered like roiv. However, Rav would say that's only the case with shchita. That would not be the case with treif. With treifas, you need an actual mathematical roiv, 51%, in order for the creature. With treifa, for shchita, so far he's saying you only need 50%. So in other words, again, Rashi is learning that when it comes to shchita, Rav would say you need 50%. And that's considered roiv. When it comes to treifas, you would need, let's say, 60% or whatever, enough to be roiv hanira, enough to be that's visibly a majority of the kana has been cut.
But for shita, all
you need is 50%. According to everybody else, Rav is saying for shita you need 50. For everything else, and for treifas you need 51. 51 is also not roiv hanira; it's not visibly roiv, but it's roiv hanira le'inayim in the sense that it's an actual mathematical roiv rather than a hypothetical roiv like Rav is saying. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says, "Loi kol d'cheinu." Shouldn't you make a cut? What do you mean to distinguish like that? Rav would say one din by shchita and another by shchita. Shouldn't it be a kavah chomer? Uma treifa d'mamashu mitayfa, madach treifas, where in many cases we say that even a tiny hole is enough to make the animal treif, as we're going to learn in the next parak. And yet, hecha d'bein and ruba, and yet you're telling me that in cases where you need roiv, such as by the Kana, but in a roiv on Nirulay 9, you're telling me that we need a larger roiv than just 50%. Shchita. Well then, by treifa. Well then, shchita, the ad the ikar ruba, loy miskashra, well then by shchita, where after all, you do need roiv. The only reason Rav is saying exactly half is kosher is because he's considering, the Torah considers half to be roiv. But the fact is, essentially, by shchita, you need roiv. Loy Kolshekin to Berin and Roiv on Nidalei 9 shouldn't be how much more so that we need a Roiv on Nidalei 9, an actual mathematical Roiv, if by Treifus, where some Treifus is enough to have a small hole, much less than 50% than already the bird is today, already the creature is today. How much more so by Shchita, where the fact is, the definition of Shchita is you need Roiv. Rav is saying that fine, half counts as Roiv, but shouldn't we say then that if you're going to require a Roiv, that it has to be a Roiv on Nidalei 9? Not just 50%. Okay. Ella, you're right, the Gemara says. The Kulei Alma Mechtal Nachta Einikaroi. You're right, when it comes to Shchita, everybody would agree that exactly half is not considered like Roiv. V'chi Itmar D'Rav U'Rav Kahana Le'in Pesach. Yes. So therefore, we have to understand, therefore, that when Rav and Rav Kahana said their machloikas about Mechtal Mechta, they were not talking about Shchita at all. They were talking about a different din as far as the Korban Pesach. As far as the carbon paper. So when it comes to shchita, they weren't talking about shchita. They were talking about the carbon paper, not about shchita. So therefore, we're left with the halacha. If by shchita, it's not enough to have mechtal mechta. You do have to have roiv. You have to have roiv hanir le'inayim, as we just said. Again, what the definition of roiv hanir le'inayim is machlokes rishonim. So therefore, in Shulchan does it mean that, according to many of the Rishonim, it means 51%. According to Rashi, it seems like it means a larger amount, something that's visibly a roiv.
No.
Again, everybody would agree 50 is not enough. But most of the Rishonim would learn that 51% is enough. as long as you can measure. Rashi would hold that not. Rashi's Loshen over here that says, Roy Gomer Shehu Nicker would imply that be more than 51. It would imply. If according to Rashi, 51 would not be enough. 52 might not be enough. You might need 60. You might need 65. Whatever. Yeah. Okay, so the point, so what the result is, therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, so you have it. So you have it. So it's a machloek that's a post-sim on this, therefore. Is it enough? The lachachila, of course, is supposed to shef through all the entire simon, but if you shef it only through 51%, is the animal or the bird kosher or not? If you have some of the post-sim, I believe the machadra says it is. But then you have, then some of the noisa kalim say that we should be choshesh for Rashi Shitta, that not. And therefore, so in general, that's one of those things that they talk about. If it's hefted merubah, then you can be meitzel. But if not, then you should be machmir or masalim. That's what we're going to talk about. The korban pesach is something else. One second. But that's as far as the number of people. But still, wait. Let's first finish what we were discussing over here. Is that therefore the result of the halacha is you definitely have to have roiv of one or the both simonim when it comes to shchita. But the question is how much roiv is enough for that purpose. Again, is Roiv 51% or is Roiv, does it have to be a visible Roiv, meaning more than
that?
We know it's not Mechtam Nechtam, for sure. That's it. Okay. So, what's Le'inyan Pesach? Harei Shehoi Yisrael Mechtet Torim. Now, we know that the Korban Pesach, if you have a minority of the people are Tomei, then fine, they wait for Pesach Sheni and they bring the Korban Pesach there. If a majority of the people are Tomei, Mech, then they bring the Korban Pesach, Vitor. And they even eat it, Vitor. Harei shahoyu yisro mechta tahorim or mechta tmeim. Suppose the people are exactly half tame, half tahor. What do you do? Rav ama mechta al mechta tahorim. Here is where you have the machlokes, where Rav says that exactly half is considered like roiv. Therefore, what that would mean is that everybody does it by Pesach Rishon. The tahorim make their own korban Pesach. The tmeim make their own korban Pesach. And as they make sure not to get in touch with each other, so they don't miss the tmeim or matam or the tahorim. But the point is that nobody is nidcha to Pesach Sheni. But Rav Kahana, I'm a mechtal mechtaene to roiv. Rav Kahana is saying half is not like roiv. Therefore, the tmeim will wait for Pesach Sheni, and the tahorim will do Pesach Rishon. So, Rav, the hosam my time of Rav. Okay, so what is Rav's reason over there? Why, if we're saying that in general Rav does not hold, for example, by Shchita, that Mechtal Mechta is like Roiv, why by Korban Pesach he's taken? See? The reason is, ish tiyeh tomei lanefesh, because the Pasuk says if any individual person is tomei lanefesh, then he's pushed off the Pesach Sheni. But therefore, we learn from that, ish nidcha vein sibur nidcha, and we learn from that only individuals are nidcha, not the sibur. Once you have half, fine, they're not a roi, but they're not yechidim anymore either. So therefore, Rav says, only yechidim can be pushed off the Pesach Sheni, not like this where you have half the sibur, which can't really be considered yechidim.
So that's exactly 50%.
But only in that case would Rav say 50% counts as roi, but not otherwise. Right.
So for
Shchita it doesn't work. Right. Okay. Fine.
The
Shchita we said, everybody will agree, both he and Rav Kahana. This that we typed out, the whole Machloikas, it turns out that's not Rav and Rav Kahana's actual Machloikas. They're only talking about the Korban Pesach. Right. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Roiv Echa Boiv, the Mishnah finished off, that if a person checks Roiv of one simon in a bird, or Roiv of the two simonim in a behemoth, then the Shchita is kosher. The question is, that's a repeat. We learned already earlier in the same mission, the majority of any simon is considered like the whole simon. So why does the mission need to repeat it? So hachash pashach simon, these are the key letters from the names of the Amoraim who answer this question. Okay. Number one, the answer is one statement in the mission is referring as far as shechting cholin, and the other one is referring to the din as far as shechting kodshin. And, now why do we need it to both hold both? Well, tzricha, we need the Mishnah to tell us both of them. The Iyashmin and Cholin, because if the Mishnah only told us that this is true in the case of Cholin, that as long as you shefted the majority of the simon, then you're good, you would think like this. Hosam would be sagile beruba. You know why it's enough to sheft the majority of the simon when it comes to Cholin? Mishnah delav l'dam hu tzarech. Because after all, when it comes to Cholin, you don't really need the blood for any purpose. You don't need the blood for tzricha. So we don't care, particularly if not very much blood comes out during the shechita. As long as later on you'll cut it up and you'll do melicha and whatever and you'll get out the blood that way. But we don't need the blood on the spot there, so we don't care if not enough blood comes out. Ava kodshin d'ladam hisarech. But when it comes to kodshin, where after all you do need the blood for zricha, so that's the purpose of the korban, is to sprinkle the blood on the mizeach. So you would think maybe it's not enough to shech most of the simon. add the ikakule. Maybe you would need to shech the entire simon, and if not, then the korban is possible. On the other hand, you would think the iashmin and kodshin. On the other hand, if the Mishnah only told us one time and we said that it referred to kodshin, you would say the other way around. You know why by kodshin you need the majority? Mishum dilabdam who started. Precisely because of that. Because you need the blood, so therefore you have to cut through more than half the simon. Avo cholin, the ladam lo sarech, but cholin where you don't need the blood at all, and you have a paugus agile, maybe take it enough to only check through half the simon. Therefore, exactly half of each simon. Well, one simon by bird and two by, you know, and two by animal. Kamash malon. So that is why we need the Mishnah to repeat this concept twice to tell us that it applies both to cholin and kachin. Okay.
So what the first time it applies to kachin?
So that's the question. Hey, b'cholin, v'hei b'kachin. Which statement of the Mishnah refers to cholin and which one refers to kachin? Now, I mean, on the surface, there's not much of a nafka minah knowing that, but in particular, I mean, we want to know, but also because there's going to be further mishnayos in the perek that deal with different dinim as far as shita, which are follow-ups from our mishnah, and so we want to know, do those dinim apply primarily to cholin or do they apply primarily to kachin? Okay. So therefore we want to know. Okay. Omer of Kahana, sort of Kahana says, Mistabra Reisha B'chol, the safe of a kachin. It's logical to say that the first time when the mishnah started off Hashoyche, that one is referring to cholin, the sefer b'kodshim, and then when it finishes off, roiv echad ba'oif, and then roiv shnayim b'behema, then it's kosher. More logical to say that one's talking about kodshim. Mimai, how do we know that? Midikotoni hashoyche. So Rav Kahana would say the reason is because our mishnah, our perek, started off with the word hashoyche. If he shech, how does that show? V'sakdai v'choreisha b'kodshim, if you were going to think that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about kodshim, ha-moilik mi-boilei, then the Mishnah should have instead mentioned if he does malika of one simon, because by birds, by kodshim, yeah, you only do malika for birds. So if the Mishnah started off by saying that roiv echad boi, but should have said ha-moilik rather than ha-shoyche. Okay. So the question is, Elamai safer b'kodshim? Okay, so what are you going to tell me then? That the safer is referring, that the end of the mission is referring to kodshim? You can say the same thing. What do you mean, shlitotik shem? Shlitotik shem, by the same logic, you should say, the Mishnah should finish off, that if he did grove of one, by bird, then the malika is kasha. And so it's holy kasha, that's not such a big problem, because I did the solace from behema, because since the Mishnah, the last thing before it that it mentioned is behema, it said, roiv echad ba'oif, roiv shnayim behema, so the last word behore the end of the Mishnah is behema, so therefore, tonanami shchitatik shreya, so therefore it finishes off with the word shchita.
Why it's not such a big subject?
Because, look at the order, first we're mentioning oif, then we're mentioning behema. So in the end of the Mishnah, since it mentions behema last, it makes sense to finish off shitotik shema, because malika doesn't apply to behema. El reisha, but with the reisha, it would be the other way around. Mechti al oifkoi. After all, it's referring to a bird, because the Mishnah starts mentioning a bird. It starts saying, ha-shoichet roiv echaboi. So if Isak died of the kodshim, ha-molik nebole. So yeah, Rav Kahana has a point, therefore, that if it was talking about kodshim, it would have to say ha-molik, because when the next thing it says is ba'oif, and that's the only thing. That's the only thing you do with birds for karbonis is malika. So therefore, that shows that it's logical to say that the first words of the Mishnah, ha-shoichet roiv echad ba'oif, etc., is talking about cholin, and the end is talking about kodshim. Why does it finish off shitotik shayla? It's talking about animals. It finished talking about behemoth, but it means, in other words, the same thing would apply to malika. Okay. Fine. Obviously, when it comes to birds, by the way, there's a difference also, because when it comes to an olot ta'oif, you have to shech through both simonim as well. But oh, the type you need to check, you need to do malika.
The only bird
where you have to cut through both, right?
Okay. That's malika also, right?
That's malika also, that's kind of nice. Okay. Fine. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says, here's another proof, Reisha B'chol and Mehalcha. Here's a different way. I agree with the concept that the reason why the Mishnah is repeating it is one about Chol and one about Kodshim. I also agree with what Rav Kahana is saying, that we can prove that the first one is mentioning is referring to Cholin, and the second one is referring to Kodshim. But Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says, I have a different proof for that. Mehalcha. From the following, because the Mishnah says, if you shech most of one simon in a bird, then it's kosher. At the beginning of the Mishnah. The Sakadaitach for Kodshim, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Kodshim, that's not a blanket rule. As we just said, you have an Olas Ha'oif, you have to shech both simonim. So the Mishnah can't be saying, to begin with, and expects us to know that it's talking about kodshim, because the fact is that kodshim is not necessarily you shech only one simon and an oif of kosher. If it's an oila, you have to shech through both. that you have to do melicha rather than both.
That's the indirect proof.
So that's the indirect proof. That's talking about chol. So the question is, again, Elamai is safer the Konshim. Okay, so what are you going to tell me? That the end of the Mishnah is talking about Konshim. Same problem. What do you mean? The Mishnah finishes off if you cut most of one simon and a bird. Again, if you're going to say that that part is talking about Konshim, that doesn't work either. You have an Ola Sa'if requires two, so then the Mishnah should say that you have to cut through the majority of two. The answer is, my Roiv Echad, Roiv Kol Echad Ve'echad. You know what? As a matter of fact, we can say at the end of the Mishnah, when it says that he cut through roiv echad, it doesn't mean most of one siman. You're right. It means roiv of each siman that has to be cut in connection with that particular carbon, which in the case of it can mean one in the case of a chassos, and it can mean two in the case of an oil. Ubedinhu delisni roiv shnayim. So by rights, the Mishnah could well have mentioned roiv shnayim, but that which referred to an oil, and it didn't because kibin deka chassos, because since there's also a chassos oil, the stagile b'chad simon, whereby chassos oil is enough to cut one simon, mishmachu like stikalei. So therefore, it's not a definitive thing. The Tanna wanted to use an expression that will apply to both. So he says roiv echad, and we're meant to understand, says Rav Shimon Ba'ashi, that it means roiv of whichever ones are relevant to this particular carbon. So one in the case of a chaka, and two in the case of, and two in the case of an ass. Right? Yeah. Okay. But therefore, it's a definite. Then he would have said shnayim. Then he would have said roiv shnayim. And if he said only, if he wanted to say only chaka ba'oif, yeah. So therefore, but the ratio of the Mishnah, which he says if he shechted echad ba'oif, clearly that can't be referring to kodshin, because echad, there's no way that you can understand echad itself to mean both simonim. Roiv echad, you could say fine. It's roiv of whichever relevant one. But yeah. So that's Rav Shimi Ba'ashi. Rav Papa, Amar Reisha B'cholin, Rav Papa B'hafa. Rav Papa says, again, I agree that the Reisha is talking about Cholin and the Sefer is talking about Kodshin. I have yet a different proof that it's in that order. Because the Mishnah continues, Rav Yehuda Amar Sheyushchet HaSavaridin, that Rav Yehuda says that aside from the Shchita, you also have to cut through or puncture the Viridin, as we said, or Pligi Rabban Alei, and we said that the Chachamim disagree with him. If you're saying that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Cholin, Shapir, okay, that makes sense. The Chachamim are saying, I'm not worried about the Viridin, because if you're going to be cutting, if you're going to be roasting it whole, then fine, you're still going to, the roasting will take out the blood or whatever, and if you're going to be cutting it up and cooking it, whatever, you're anyway going to, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. So then it works. Eli, I'm a Kodshin, but if you were going to tell me the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Kodshin, I might figure it out. Like, why indeed would the Chachamim be arguing and say you don't need to cut the bird? The fact is, the fact of the matter is, with a bird carbon, you need the blood. You need blood in order to sprinkle on, in order to squeeze out onto the Mizbeah. And necessarily, you're only going to get a significant amount of blood if you cut the bird in.
And with the Ben also needs to sprinkle it.
Fine, but again, Rabbi Yehuda is not saying you need to cut the viridian by an animal anyway, because the fact is, if the viridian, well, you have enough blood without it anyway, I guess the point is also that, again, Rabbi Yehuda would say primarily the reason is because you're going to roast it whole, and animals you don't usually roast whole. No, fine, as a practical matter, you may end up cutting the viridian as part of the shechting, as part of the shechita of a carbon, but you're not required to, because I guess you'll get enough blood without it anyway. But if you're talking about a bird, and if you were talking about Kodshim, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to cut the viridian, then the Chachamim would have to agree with him on that. So that's another proof that the first part is talking about Chumim. Okay. Rav Ashi, I'm a safer of a Kodshim. Rav Ashi says, so far, all the proofs have mainly focused on how we know that the first words of the Mishnah, Hashoychet Echad Ba'oif Ushnaim Abahema, all the proofs so far have been to prove that part is talking about Cholin, and therefore, by elimination, the second part has to be talking about Kodshim. Rav Ashi is going to bring a proof the other way around, that we can see definitively that the Sefer is talking about Kodshim, and therefore, by elimination, that the Reisha has to be about Cholin. So, Rav Ashi Omar, Sefer B'Kodshim Mehacha, Jekotani, because you have the next Mishnah, which is a follow-up from this one, continues, Hashoychet Shnei Roshin Kenachad, if somebody shechts two heads of animals together, and he has a long knife, and he has two animals standing next to each other, and he does one shchita that covers both of them at the same time, shchitatik sheder, the shchita is kosher. Implying, again, hashoychet means, like we said before, di'evedei mahatkila loy. The word hashoychet means you shouldn't have done that lahatkila, but di'eved, you did it as kosher. Lahatkila, you would say shoychet adam shnei roshin kachad, or something else. But again, if you say that the Sefer of our Mishnah, which is what the next Mishnah follows from, if you say the Sefer of our Mishnah is talking about Kodshim, then that explains why you shouldn't be doing it Lachchila. And the reason is, Mishum Detonit of Yosef, because of Yosef taught a Braita, that when the Pasuk says about Korbanos Tizbach, the actual word is Tizbachuhu, but the Tizbach, you should shecht it, means Shaloy Yoshnaim, Shosim Zevach. So like this. Yeah, the actual word in the Pasuk is Tizbachuhu, but we're going to darshan it, in two senses. Because the way it's written, the way it's written in the Torah, it's written Tav Zayin Beis Ches Hei Vav. We read it when we read the Torah Tizbachuhu. You plural should check it. But we can also read it because the first Vav is missing because you have a Kobos under the Ches. You can read it as if it said Tizbachuhu. You singular should check it. So therefore, we can dash in two things. Tizbach means Shalom Yushnaim Shechim Zevachecha. You shouldn't have two people shechting one korban together, because we can read the word as if it said Tizbachehu, you in the singular should shecht it, but not two people. And Tizbachuhu, and on the other hand, the word Tizbachuhu, you should shecht it, meaning Shalom Yehechad Shechet Shnei Zevachem. You shouldn't have one person shechting two korbanos at the same time. But Amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says, how can we dash in two things from the same word? You could even have two people holding a knife, for example. And with Cholin, that would be fine.
That would be considered two people checking
the paper. Yeah, yeah. They're both of them holding a knife, sure. But Amar Rav Kahana says, Bachehu. And Rav Kahana says, how can you douch in two things from the same word? Because you have the way it's read, Tizbachehu, and you have the way it's spelled, which can be read, Tizbachehu. And therefore, you can douch in both singular and plural. Okay. So there we are. So the point is, since from Rabbi Yosef's din, we see that the Torah doesn't want to be shechting two korbanos at the same time. Therefore, it makes sense. The next Mishnah is talking about kodshim and saying that's fine. The point is that the din is accepted. The din is accepted. Rabbi Yosef is teaching a braisa that says this. We don't have anybody arguing with it. So therefore, we can say fine. It's not. It doesn't pass all the korban if somebody shechts two of them together, because we have the usual rule that you need shana all of our kodshim la'akiv. You need something repeated twice in the Torah in connection with korbanos for it to actually be ma'active. But nevertheless, b'chila, you shouldn't do it. So fine, the next Mishnah is saying, b'di'eved, you shechted two animals together for a korban, only b'di'eved is kosher. Fine, that would follow from the end of our Mishnah, which is talking about kosher. That's what Rav Ashi said. Because they didn't follow, maybe that's such a connection between one Mishnah and the next. Eli, I'm at b'cholin, but if you were going to say the end of our Mishnah was talking about b'cholin, that would mean the next Mishnah is also talking about Cholin as well. So then after L'chatchila Nami, what would be the problem? There's no problem with L'chatchila versus B'di'evet of shechting two animals at the same time, as long as you make sure you didn't do Shehir or Jirasa or the rest of them. So what's the problem? But obviously the next Mishnah must be talking about Kodshim, and therefore, Rav Ashi says, therefore that proves that the end of our Mishnah, which is what the next one follows from, must also be talking about Kodshim.
Why?
Because otherwise, if our Mishnah began with Kodshim, then switched to Cholin, then the next one would have to be talking about that. Yeah, and it wouldn't make sense, and it also wouldn't make sense the next one talking about Cholin, because there's no reason to say that shechting two animals at the same time about Cholin would only be a B'di'evet thing. So therefore, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be Cholin, Kodshim, and Kodshim.
Right.
Okay.
So Cholin, L'chatchila, you could check two animals at the same time. But after Shimon and Lakish, Sabar, Reish, B'Cholin, B'Seich, B'Kodshim. Also Reish Lakish, besides all the Amaroyim we've brought so far, also Reish Lakish holds that the beginning of our Mishnah is talking about Cholin. Because we want to know, we want to establish this point. So also, Reish Lakish holds that the Reisha of our Mishnah is talking about Cholin, and the Sefer is talking about Kodshim. Because the Omer of Shimon Lakish, Me'achar Sheshaninu Rubei Shal Echad Kamayu, given that Reish Lakish asks, why, if our Mishnah says Rubei Shal Echad Kamayu, Lama Sheninu Roi Vata Ba'ofa Roi Shnaim Abayma, so why does the Mishnah have to continue and say that if he shechted most of one simon by a bird, or most of two simonim by Behemah, that's kosher? He says like this, because we have a Mishnah in Yuma that tells us like this. Now, we know when it comes to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to be doing all of the Avodahs of the day. And that means not just in connection with the Korbanos that are special to Yom Kippur, but also all the regular Korbanos that are brought on that day that are just brought just like they would be any other day. For example, the Korban Talmud. That means, therefore, he has to be shechting the Korban Talmud as well. Now, the problem is, he not only needs to shech the Korban Talmud, he also needs to do the Kabbalah. He has to receive the blood, and he has to catch the blood in the Mizrah. So he can't do both, especially because both of them have to be done with the right hand. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, hey, V'ulay the Talmud, they brought the Kohen Gadol, the animal for the Talmud, Krosay, he cut through it, which means he did what's necessary for the shechita, that he does roiv shnayim, he just does most of the two simanim without cutting through all of them. umiras acha shchita al yod, and then somebody else finishes the shchita for him, because at that point it's fine. I mean, at that point the essential avoda has been done because the essential shchita has been done. So somebody else finishes the shchita, and meanwhile that gives the Kohen Gadol the opportunity to take the mizrach to be able to catch the blood. So the question is, Rish Lakish says, Yachol lo yirach yehei posel. You would think that maybe the Mishnah is implying that if somebody did not do the mirith, if somebody did not finish cutting through the rest of the simanim, maybe the shchita would be posel. L'chach shaninu. That is why our Mishnah had to say over here, Roi v'chavoyf, v'roi shnayim v'behema, because in other words, again, so that we see that Rish Lakish clearly holds that the end of our Mishnah is talking about kodesh. Okay. So therefore, so that proves that Rishlok, the connection is, why does our Mishnah have to say, Roi Vecha Ba'ofer, Roi Shnayim V'Behema, to inform us that when it comes to that case in Yoma involving the Kohen Gadol, Shechting the Talmid, we're saying over there somebody else should finish the Shchita. Let's say they didn't. Nevertheless, the Shchita is still kosher. Because we see from our Mishnah that it applies not only to Kohen, Hashrechet Echa Ba'ofer, Shnayim V'Behema, but also when it comes to Kodshim, Roi Vecha Ba'ofer, Roi Shnayim V'Behema. Okay, now let's analyze that a little bit. Omamar, so we said in the Braisa, it wasn't a Braisa actually, it was Rish Lakish. So we said, Rish Lakish had said, Yachol lo yirach yehei posel. He says that you would think maybe if no other Kohen completed the checking through the rest of the simanim, maybe it would be posel. The question is, why would we think that? Forget about our Mishnah. In Cain, if you were going to tell me that it's required to do the mirith, and without it, the shchita is possible, have you avoid the ba'achas? Then what are you left with? You're left with that some of the avoida has been done by somebody else. The Tanya, and we learn in a braisa, kol avoidas yemes supportim enin kshiras el avoid. All the avoidas of Yom Kippur are only kosher if the Kohen Gadol does them. So for that reason alone, we understand that the mirith is not required. Because if it was required, then the Kohen Gadol himself would have to do it.
And here we want to say...
So Rish Lakish is arguing, you know how we know that it's not necessary to do the Merika because our Mishnah tells us, Roi Vecha Ba'oif, Roi Shnayim V'Behema, but even without that, we would understand. If the Merika was essential, if without it, the Shchita and therefore the Kohen was possible, then we know the Kohen Gadol would have to do it.
So that alone shows
it's not necessary. So why should we need the end of our Mishnah to tell us?
Right.
The answer is Hakakama, fine, but what Rish Lakish means like this is that... Yachol yehei posel midrabban. Fine. What Rish Lakish's argument is, you would think, fine, if you shechted through most of the simanim, then it should be kosher midaraisa. Fine. But maybe it should still be posel midrabbanan. To talk that, I mean, if it's still the rabbanan, because maybe you would think, maybe the rabbanan posel if you didn't shech through the whole simon. L'chach shaninu, therefore we're told, Roi Vecha Ba'oif, Roi Shnayim V'Behema. In other words, what we would say is like this. When it comes to the Korban of Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Korban Talmud, because there's no choice, because the Kohen Gadol has to shecht it and do Kabbalah Saddam, therefore the Rabbanan are not going to impose any Xeris, and therefore they're going to say that you don't have to shecht through the whole thing. But when it comes to other Korbanos, where you don't have that constraint, maybe the Rabbanan are going to say that if you don't shecht through the whole simon, it's going to be possible. Therefore, our Mishnah says, l'chach shenina, roi v'chadoif, roi shenayim v'behema, meaning that even on a drabbanon level, what they'll say when it comes to kachin.
But since you pay for cash, you're talking to Kohen, even that's a bigger madrega, you got to be more careful.
I'm not sure. Somebody has to, he has to do the shchita, and he has to do the
shchita. But for sure, he should not be like that.
No.
It should be that make sure.
No, so, well, that's what we're saying. When it comes to Yom Kippur, there's no question. We can't think that the Rabbanon would make any Xeira then, because then it's impossible. But maybe the rest of the year they would. No, our Mishnah tells us this.
Okay.
So it applies for the rest of the year as well. Okay, the question is, am I achad afil a psula de rabbanon leka? So fine, if after all there's no psula, even with rabbanon, if you didn't finish cutting through the simanim, lomali b'maris, then why do you have to have a second koyin finishing off the shchita? Okay, Tosa says, I mean, with cholin also, you're supposed to cut through the two simanim. The question is, rather, the fact of the matter is, here it's going to be hard to do it, especially because you need to make sure that you don't have shahiyah over there, that you don't pause too much, and you're switching from one person to another. Normally, in fact, Tosis points out, the cloud, you're usually not supposed to have two people shechting one korban anyway, as we just said before. So the question is, in that case, mela when it comes to cholin, there's no big deal if you have a second person finish, if you cut through the whole simon. But there, where you can have the kohen gadol cut through the whole simon, because then he's not going to be able to do the kabbalah sadam in time. And to have somebody else do it is a bit of a joke. So why are we bothering at all? especially if there's no psul d'rabbanan even in it. The answer is mitzvah l'marek. Nevertheless, the mitzvah, the ideal way to do it, is that somebody else should complete cutting through the rest of the simanim. That way you'll get more blood. So therefore, the l'chatchila mitzvah l'marek. If they didn't do it, then Rish Lakish is telling us, or Mishnah is telling us that there's no psul in it, not d'oraisa, not even d'rabbanan.
That time that takes the finish of the shechita and catch the blood would not be enough for the cutting on to do it all for himself.
That, right, so that's the thing. So while somebody else is finishing cutting through the simanim, meanwhile the Kohen Gadol can grab the Mizra and be ready. There wouldn't be time, because by the time you'd finish cutting through the simanim, the blood's already gushing out, and you're supposed to collect as much of the blood, as much of the Dama Nefesh as possible in the cave.
So he starts it, and then...
So he starts it, he does the most of the two simanim, which is the minimum for it to be considered a kosher shechita. At that point, somebody else takes the knife and finishes off. Meanwhile, he grabs the Mizra and is ready to catch it.
That's by
Abraham. By the Korban Talmud of Yom Kippur. The Pashtus, I guess, by the other Korbanos of Yom Kippur as well. Okay. Fine. Another new topic. Almud of Shimon Lakish Mishum Levi Stava. Levi Stava means the old Levi. The Pashtus means not the famous Levi that we find throughout Shas, the Chaver of Rav and Shmuel. I guess it must have been a different Levi. Anyway. Einel L'shchita Elabasim. Because the word Stava means elder. But the Pashtus, Levi Stava, the other one is called Levi. The Shlokish says, in the name of Levi Sava, the Shchita is only considered to be a Shchita at the end, meaning only when it comes to the end of the process of Shchita is it called Shchita, which we're going to discuss. We're going to start discussing in the Gemara what the Nachkamina of that is. Rabbi Yochanan holds the entire process of Shchita is all considered part of the Shchita. So, Omar Rava. So Rava says, what's the napkin here? It's like this. Hakol Modim, Hecha the Shachat, Simon Echad Ovid Zechavim, Simon Echad Yisrael. Everybody would agree, even Rish Lakish, that if a Goy were to shech through one Simon, and a Yid were to shech, which we said in the first parak, that a Goy's Shechita is possible, and a Yid shechted the second Simon, she's still up. No question it would be possible, even according to Rish Lakish, because the fact of the matter is, Sharei Nasaba Maisav Shrefa Biyad Ovid Zechavim, because the fact is, something that's significant enough to make it Shrefa was done by the Goy. Again, we learned before that the Kone, if more than half of it is cut through, then it's possible. Here a Goy cut through the entire Kone, or most of it, as the case may be, or any part of the Vesh, where we learned that even a small hole in the Vesh makes the animal Shrefa. So since the Goy did enough of a significant thing to make it Shrefa, that already, even Rish Lakish would agree there, because even Rish Lakish, who holds Ein of a Shchita Elul of a Sois, that only the end of the process is considered the Shchita, he would agree, in this case, the Shchita would be possible. We have to consider the first part, cutting through the Kana, as being part of the Shchita as well. And, Ba'oila Sa'oif Nami, and, further, Rava continues, when it comes to an Oila Sa'oif, where, as we've learned, the Oila Sa'oif, you have to do Melissa through both Simonim, Nami, so also in that case, there's no Nakimina between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Hecha de Molik Simon Echa B'Mata V'Simon Echa B'Maila. Now, we learned in Zvachim that an Oila Sa'oif, the Melika of it is supposed to be done, the Melika of it is supposed to be done on the top half of the Mizbeach. Half of Sa'oif is the bottom half, Oila Sa'oif is the top half, above the Chotah Sikra. So let's say with an Oila Sa'oif, if he did the Melika of one Simon Lamasa on the bottom, standing by the bottom half of the Mizbeach, the Simon Echa B'Maila, and then he did the second Simon on the top half of the Mizbeach, definitely Tzura, Shari also b'maisa chasa, because he accomplished by cutting through one simon at the bottom of the on the bottom half of the mizbeach, he's done all of what's necessary to make a chasa sa'oif kosher, because a chasa sa'oif only needs one simon, and a chasa sa'oif is done on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So therefore, he's done the oila sa'oif wrongly. He did enough of it to make it effectively into a chasa sa'oif. Yeah, well, he was supposed to be doing an Oila Sa'if, and instead he did it as a Chasa Sa'if, which makes it possible. So again, even Rish Lakish would agree, we're not going to say Einel Shchita Elav Sa'if, we're not going to say that only the cutting of the second simon is significant and we'll ignore the cutting of the first simon, because the fact of the matter is, by cutting the first simon on the bottom of the Zayach, he's done Maisa Chasa, and therefore it's possible. So in those two cases, Rish Lakish is going to agree that, right. What is the machlokes between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Else going to shocha simon echad b'chutz, the simon echad b'fnim. Suppose that when it comes, suppose that when it comes to a, when it comes to a bird or an animal, suppose that he shechted, suppose, So suppose that he had an animal. So suppose that he. Oh, so no. Actually, Rashi says we're talking also about an also about a bird. Hold on a second. Suppose that he had. Suppose that he had a bird or an animal of kodshim. Now we learned at the end of the zvachim the whole concept of shchut echut, that if a person shechts an animal of kodshim outside the azara, then the maze of the chayiv karis and the shogeg they have to be in carbon, a carbon chatas. So suppose that he shechted. Suppose that he shechted one simen b'chutz, one simen outside the azara, the simen echad b'fnim, and the second simen inside the azara.
Okay,
so
wasting time.
He stands right outside the azara. He cuts through one simen, then he immediately enters the azara and cuts the other simen. It's not long enough. So we're going to learn when we learn about shehiyah later on in the parak. We're going to talk about later on in the parak. When we talk about shehiyah, we'll talk about the minimum amount that's enough, that makes it possible. Okay, so the point is, therefore, so again, what did he do? So he shechted one simen b'chos and one simen b'fnim. So therefore, the man de amar yeshna lachshchit the shchitim etchil avad soif. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the first part of it is also considered part of the shchita, well then chayev, the mechayev, then he's chayev koris or achatos because he started the process of shchita outside the azara.
That's
Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, we say that. Laman de amar ena lachshchita el avad soif. Whereas according to Rish Lakish. According to the Shlokish, who says that the Shchita only takes place at the end, only by the second simon, loy mechayev. So he's not going to be chayev because he finished the Shchita inside the Azara. Yeah. So again, Rashi explains that we're talking about a bird of kodshim. Tosfos asks on that. The fact of the matter is that you're not chayef from a luta b'chot. You only chayef a shchita b'chot. Shchita b'chot. You only need one simen by a bird. So why should anybody say he's potter? So Tosfos says we're talking about a behemoth.
I didn't look to see how they defend Rashi.
Omele Rav Barshini, however, Rav Barshini says to Rava, who gave this explanation, he says, you should know, Mar loy Omer Hochi. Our Rebbe could not explain it that way. And who is our Rebbe? Umanu Rav Yosef, namely Rav Yosef, who was Rav Barshini's Rebbe, and also Rava's Rebbe, as we find in many places in Shas, that Rav Yosef was Rava's Rebbe. So you should know, Rav Yosef did not explain it that way. He said like this, Heicha b'shochat simen echad b'chutz v'simen echad b'fnim nami posel. If you shechted one simen outside the Azara and then one simen in the Azara, no question that it's posel. No question that it's possible because the fact of the matter is shechting one simen by a bird is enough. Shari also b'maisa chatas oiz b'chutz because you've accomplished all that's needed for a chatas oiz and you've done it outside the Azara. So the chatas oiz, all you need is one simen.
So what's that going to do the second simen inside?
That's the point. Because even if it was an oila sa'os, the fact is you did it as a chata sa'os. You made it possible, but nevertheless, it's still enough to be a chata. It's enough to be a valid melita for chata sa'os. Therefore, it's enough to make him. Therefore, it's enough to make him possible. Therefore, it's enough to make him. It's enough to make him chayev. It's enough to make him chayev. Yeah. Because outside the business.
The melita itself.
Yeah, because he did shchita. Whatever he did in this case, he did shchita of one simon for that. Lo nechleku ela. So what would be the machlokas? Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. You're going to shochat miut simonin b'chutz. Let's say he didn't cut through an entire simon. He cut through the beginning of the simonim outside the gomri b'fnim, and then he finished the cutting inside the azar. Lamanda amu yeshne mishchita mishchilavad soif machayev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the entire process is considered part of the shchita, then he'd be chayev because he started the process of shchita outside the azar. According to Rish Lakish, that the shchita is only when you finish, when you get to the point when it's a valid shchita, and a miut of simonim is not enough to be a valid shchita. By the time you finish roiv of the simonim, you're inside the azara. So according to Rish Lakish, the person is not chayev.
Even if he was standing outside
at the beginning, but because he finished it inside. Right? So that would be so far with saying the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Okay, we'll continue the Sylvia tomorrow, that's the shame.
Israel.